Speaking of the NBA, we are joined right now by a friend of the program. He covers the NBA for the New York Times. He is the man behind the New York Times NBA newsletter. He is the recipient of the 2019 Kurt Gowdy Media Award, Cal State Fullerton, and Big West Conference legend. He is Mark Stein. Hey, Mark, what's up? How are you?
I just heard your rejoin music. Makes me feel young again. Love that.
I appreciate that. Me too, Mark. That's why it's there. Listen, as you pointed out...
For a minute, I feel young again.
Yeah, right? I feel you. So you pointed out on Twitter and in your newsletter both, there's a lot of momentum for the NBA to return at some point in the coming months. So how would you describe the situation right now?
Well, I don't think there's any question that they're going to come back. Everybody is basically operating now that that's going to happen in Orlando in terms of games. Late July is the league's stated target. Could it get pushed back even a little more? I think there is some fear of that. But still, the format, how it's going to look, how many teams, that we don't know. And that's what they're trying to hash out now. Is it 16, 30, 20, 24? Getting to that number and also exactly what the playoff structure will look like. That's the focus now. And then from there, the focus will ultimately shift back to the biggest issue, which is all the safety protocols that have to be followed to make this thing work, which really, I mean, you know, we're spending so much energy now looking at formats. But to me, I'm much more curious about the safety protocols and how you make this, how you make the players, coaches, staffers feel safe and comfortable. That, to me, is still issue number one.
Mark Stein joining us. Mark, finish that thought. For instance, you raised the issue in your newsletter that you have a level of uneasiness about a return. Lay it out for me. How would you describe that uneasiness?
I just think, look, we're seeing, you know, soccer is making, to this point, what looks like a successful comeback in Germany. In England, they're going to be coming back. In America, Major League Soccer is coming back. But that sport is outside. It's a contact sport, but it's in a big, expansive outdoor stadium, and that's just different. I mean, the reality is basketball is a full contact sport indoors, and these guys are in much closer proximity than even in soccer. And so, you know, I just think it's going to be even more difficult for, you know, basketball might have it the toughest of all the team sports to try to get this thing back online because of that. And so I just, you know, I'm speaking purely for me and nobody's asking my opinion except you, but I, the closer we get, you know, I'm nervous and I'm a worrier by nature and I hope I'm just being, you know, my usual over-worrying self, but you know, I keep saying the league's good, like they're committed to going back. And I think you've heard Michelle Roberts from the players union say the players want to go back. But until teams are back in the, when teams get to this new campus environment that we've never seen, only then are we going to really learn what they think and how they feel about playing in these conditions and what happens when Team X loses two or three guys that have to go into quarantine because they've got the virus. And then how do the rest of the guys feel when that happens? And are they ready to come back to work the next day and keep playing? And I'm not saying I know the answer. I don't know the answer. I'm as curious as anyone to find out what that answer is.
Mark Stein joining us. All right, so that's a really interesting answer. I was going to say, Mark, like, for instance, when Rudy Gobert tested positive, of course, the league immediately shut down. Do we know what would happen if a player or a player players tested positive during the playoffs?
Well, the league has described it as their plan and their hope, and we do not yet know the exact safety protocols. And again, it's going to be a long, long list. And at some point, they will have to put on paper and spell out exactly what happened. But all the indications to this point have been that, like in Germany, in the Bundesliga, their approach is if a player, coach, staffer tests positive, you quarantine that person and the rest of the group carries on. And, you know, you said it. You're having Quinn Cook on later today and Lloyd Pierce on later today. And again, you know, they're the ones who have to be in that gym. We're not going to be in there. And, you know, God forbid someone on the Lakers gets it, someone on the Hawks gets it, and the next day when that group reconvenes, how does that group really feel about, you know, one or two people have left, but we're just going to keep going while they quarantine for 2 weeks? Maybe it will work. I mean, maybe it will, and I hope it does. I want it to work, and I want basketball to come back as much as anyone, but I just think it's very hard to predict how this is going to go. Now, again, in Germany so far, from containing the virus aspect, they appear to be doing a really good job with all the protocols they've instituted, and they're now on their third week of games. The big problem in Germany has been injuries. There's been just a zillion soft tissue injuries because these guys have been off so long, and that's another thing that NBA teams are going to have to face, because by the time these guys come back, they will have been off more than 3 months. It's an unprecedented break. No professional basketball player takes 3 months off in 2020. So there's a lot to contend with. Teams are going to have a lot on their plates to get through this.
Mark Stein joining us. So, Mark, part of the discussion right now is how many teams would be invited to Orlando. You've made the point that 30 may be too many. Sam Amick followed that up by tweeting that he's already heard grumbling from agents about the disparity in hotel quality. At the same time, 70 regular season games for teams because of TV rights might make some sense. So for those who don't know, why is that number so critical?
Well, look, the league does want to play as many. You know, they do want to play some regular season games if they can manage it, because for most teams, if you don't deliver 70 games to your regional partners, you owe them a refund, or you will, you know, get penalized in future payments. You know, basically, money will be owed back to the regional partners in some form or fashion. Now, a team like the Lakers doesn't fall into that category because they have so many games on national television, they couldn't deliver 70 to their regional partners. So it's not an across-the-board situation for all 30 teams, but that's a big motivation for the league. And then you bring in the basketball side of it. Teams don't want to jump right into the playoffs without a few games to get used to being, you know, get back to what it feels like to play real NBA 48-minute games. They don't just want to jump to the postseason. So, I think if the league would love to bring all 30 teams back, if it could. I think the fear is, for safety issues, when you're trying to construct this campus environment that theoretically keeps the virus out, it's just math. You know, the fewer teams you have, the better chance you give yourself of keeping everyone safe. So that's really been the case against 30 teams. But, you know, look, whatever number you come up, you know, any number that's not 30, there are issues with. If it's 16, then you don't have enough teams to play enough extra games. You go straight to the playoffs. Some teams don't like that. 20 teams will make some mad. 24 will make some teams mad. There's no way to satisfy everyone, and that's why you're hearing about so many different proposals. Everyone's looking for the magic formula that really just doesn't exist.
We are talking to Mark Stein. Now, Mark, there's really no way to predict, but you got to wonder what playoff games, for instance, would be like without fans. Like, for instance, there is a lot of cursing that goes on during games that's covered up by crowd noise. Without fans, we're going to be able to hear what players say to each other, what they say to refs, what coaches and assistant coaches say to refs, what the refs say back to them. What's your sense as to how the league might handle that?
It's a down-the-road issue for now, but I'm with you. It's a big one, and it's a big question. And look, I think all of us want the unedited audio. We all want to hear that, and you can understand why the league presumably would not want us to hear that. And, you know, certainly I think the players are going to have some say there as well, because, you know, unlike baseball, I think the NBA, you know, at least takes on board how its players think and feel a lot more than they're doing in MLB. So that is going to be fascinating. I don't know yet how that one works out, but there will certainly be a huge clamor for the public for us to hear it all, and you can imagine no players, coaches, or referees want us to hear any of it. So they're gonna have to figure that one out, because when you know in the soccer games, you know, a lot of these, you know, like in Germany, it's so multinational. There are a bunch of languages flying around, and also the stadium is so much bigger. It's hard to exactly pick up what these guys are saying. As you noted, in a basketball game, if the mics are there, we are going to hear it loud and clear. And you know how fast those clips are going to move across social media if we can hear them.
And no doubt. Mark Stein joining us. Listen, before you go, Mark, Jerry Sloan passed away last week. He was legendary for a number of things, including eating his pregame meal in the media room, which is amazing. What was that like, and what kind of memories do you have of him?
Yeah, he just was – he was so unique in that way. I mean, I've been doing this a long time, and in my 27 years, I don't ever remember any other coach who was just that comfortable, you know, dining with the nosy media before a game. I mean, he was just consistent. That's just the word that instantly pops into my head. You know, I remember him with the Bulls, but I can't really say that I saw him as a player. He was basically stopping with the Bulls just as I was really getting into the NBA. But just as a coach, he really is the most consistent man I've ever seen in this league, and as synonymous with the Jazz and consistency as Malone and Stockton were. And a story that I always tell, and I think it's important to note, you know, before the Spurs became the Spurs and before Greg Popovich became Pop, who we know by one name, Jerry Sloan was his role model. And the Utah Jazz, they were the blueprint for the Spurs. That's the team that they studied, envied, emulated, and modeled themselves after. So that's really all you need to know, because the Spurs became really became the NBA's model franchise. And the Jerry Sloan Jazz were the inspiration.
Yeah, I agree with you. I got such a kick out of Jerry Sloan. He was, as a player and a coach, so tough and so hard-nosed. But he was so fair. One more thought. I know you spoke to Mark Eaton about him. What did Eaton say?
Yeah, I had to call Eaton because just for my own personal kind of tie, Mark Eaton is the first NBA player that I ever got to interview in 1989. So because of that, it's always kind of a thing that sticks with me. And just, you know, I remember how terrified I was at 5'9" on a good day, trying to reach my tape recorder up to 7'4" Mark Eaton and get a quote from him when I didn't even really know what I should be asking him. But as you would imagine, I mean, he just has nothing but praise for the way Jerry was, and his quote, which I think was perfect, you know, toughness and fairness all rolled into one, that Jerry was the kind of guy who would really ride his players hard, but also back them a ton. And, you know, in the NBA, it's all about buy-in, and Malone and Stockton bought in to Jerry Sloan as much as you can, and when your superstars buy in, that's when you win.
That is so critical. I can remember a coach telling me once that it doesn't matter what you do, what you say, if you do not get a buy-in from your star player, you have no chance in that league. He covers the NBA for the New York Times. He is the man behind the New York Times NBA newsletter, and as I mentioned, a recipient of the 2019 Kurt Gowdy Media Award. He is Mark Stein. It's great to have you back. Mark, thanks so much, and I know we will do it again soon.
We will. Be good, man.
My man. Stay safe. Mark Stein, Warrior, Cal State Fullerton, and Big West Conference legend.